just like it's a way of life. But when the mind is right, the actions are right. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. Read that over about five times. Sir Francis Bacon was asked what he thought the outlook for the next generation. He declared, "Tell me what the young people are thinking, and I'll tell you." Why? Thoughts produce actions. Actions produce habits, and habits produce lifestyle. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, "Behind every human tragedy, there's a slow process of evil, wicked thinking. No one ever falls into sin. They have been falling a long time. We only saw them when they landed." Sin begins with our thought life. We are what we think. And if we think it long enough, we put it into action. And that's when we become cold-hearted and we find reasons that are real to us. Don't read no more. I'm not faithful anymore. I don't sing anymore. I don't pray anymore. But I'm saved. Really? Only thing I know is that thoughts produce actions, actions produce habits, and habits produce lifestyle. So what you put into the computer comes out. Put in 48 hours of television a week and you have someone who acts, talks, and thinks like television personalities. Put in 30 hours of rebellion, radio, music per week and you have someone who has philosophies and rebellion like the groups you hear. So the question is, what have you been programming into your computer? Or should I say brain? You can help but have some evil thoughts cross your mind from time to time. But do you entertain them? Someone said if you nurse sin on the knees of thought, it will grow into a giant. You will never regulate your passion until you regulate your thought life. See, I can't help if a bad thought comes to my mind. But God will hold me accountable if I entertain that thought. We can do a lot of things with our mind. We can become anything we want to be. Well, we want to speak this morning basically on transforming your thoughts. Romans chapter 12, every one of us ought to know what that, we studied Romans, the whole book of Romans verse by verse. But Romans 12, 1 is a very familiar verse. And it says here, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." God's saying, I'm not asking too much, because I paid your sin debt. I'm the one that wakes you up, puts you to sleep. So all I'm asking you is that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that that body be holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It was pretty chilly yesterday, wasn't it? I went to the drugstore. And there was this lady, she had, I don't know what she had on, because it looked like she had on a jacket, and nothing else on, but I'm sure she has something under that. Now, you know, I hear when it gets a little warmer, well, you know, I'm naked because it's hot. Your body don't belong to you. It belongs to God. I'm just reading what the Bible says here now. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Why would God want us to do that? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A transformation is an inward change that produces an outward change. The first thing I noticed when God saved me many, many years ago, that I began to think different. You know, my logical ones who study biology cannot change a caterpillar into a butterfly. It has to come from the inside. So it is in the Christian life. Worry and depression are not solved by psychiatrists, but by thinking what God wants us to think. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. God said, he'll keep me in perfect peace if my mind is stayed on him. In the book of Philippians, Chapter 4, verse 8. God gives us a list of things to occupy our thoughts. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Do we do that? Do we want to do that? Are we satisfied with such a fact, I'm saved, I know I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven when I die? That is not security, that's stupidness. When God saved me, he put a desire for me to serve the Lord. When he called me to preach, he put a desire in me to preach the truth, to preach the word of God as it is, no matter what anybody else preaches. So I've been told, you know, sometimes you're scared of people. If you live in this world and not be scared, I'm not going to scare you. Sad to say, the average man is like a toilet. To keep it clean, you need a constant flushing with godly thoughts, much prayer, much scripture, much grace. Lady told me this week, I'm really improving on my mouth. I said, well, how's it working? Well, I still slip up. I said, Miss Grace, you didn't slip up. You didn't slip up. You hadn't been praying enough. I told you that when you have these periods of time where you just want to talk like you're lost, speak like you're lost, call me. And when I pick up the phone, you hang up. Because I'll know what you're doing. And then I'll pray a special prayer for you. See, the prayers of God's people change His people. Amen. Sad to say, the average man don't think right. Now, let's look at a point here. The three minds. There are three types of minds mentioned in Scripture, and you have one of them. There is a natural man, there is a carnal man, and there is a spiritual man. Ask yourself a question right now. Which mind do you have? Do you have a natural man? Do you have a carnal man? Or do you have a spiritual mind? So there's just one mind that we need. We need to have the mind of Christ. Every decision that we make ought to be based on the Word of God, not what everybody else is doing. The natural mind is unsaved. God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, God says here, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. A lost person can hear preaching, and they may be moved, but it don't take long till they forget. Because it's the body that is controlling them instead of a spiritual mind. A spiritual mind will cause you not to watch a TV program where there's sin on the screen. He said, well, Brother Vance, I wouldn't watch much. Well, save you some money. This is serious, people. God said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So when I'm talking to a lost person and they look at me and said, Brother Tony, I understand what you're saying. No, they don't. Not that they're stupid, they can't. The natural mind cannot, they can hear it, but they cannot understand it because the natural mind won't let them. There's a lot of people that can know more scripture than me, but they don't know the author. But we're impressed. We're impressed with them. We're impressed at the fact they go to church every Sunday morning, but still drink all the way through the week. That's because it's a natural mind. This is a non-Christian. He has no spiritual appetite for the things of God. The lost person, he cannot comprehend spiritual truth. Why? Because Ephesians 2:1 tells us that he is dead in trespasses and sins. His body is alive, but his mind is dead. He may know more scripture than you. But that knowing scripture doesn't save you. It's only when you know those scriptures and apply them to your life and they cause you to have a change of life. He cannot comprehend because he's dead in trespasses and sin. Isn't that what Ephesians 2:1 tells us? He may be outwardly religious. He may be morally clean, but cannot comprehend the Christian life. And we said, but he's such a fine person. A lot of fine persons going to split hell wide open. That bothers me. I mean, see, I believe that we do that because they're such a good person. You know, who would want a better neighbor? Well, I had one. I think I told the church about this once. You know, Sue, an older lady, her and Doris just got along good. I mean, Sue got along with everybody. But I found out that one thing you don't question Sue on. You don't ask her whether she's saved or not, because she said, that's between me and God. I said, I understand that. But if you told me, Sue, that you've been going to church for 50-some years, you don't have no lost friends that you would like to go to church with you? And that sweet little lady, fire went in her. I don't distrust religion. Oh, ma'am, I don't distrust religion either. I'm talking about Christ. I'm not talking about religion. No religion will save you. Only Christ. Amen. He may be outward religious and morally clean, but cannot comprehend the Christian life. His thoughts will be what is right in his own eyes. His thoughts will be what is right in his own eyes. Situations, ethics, humanism. The natural mind thinks whatever comes natural to a lost person. When he would see the female that I seen the other day with, you know, I'm sure she has something on it, but she had a jacket on, and all you could see was the jacket. What I would like to have done is went up and tapped her on the shoulder. And, what is your prize? That's what she was doing, advertising. And to her, whoever she is, probably say, I'm a good, moral person. You know what God says when you cause your brother to sin? You don't want to talk about it? That's what God's word says. So we need to realize that the Lord, I mean, he is the one. So we discuss the natural mind. Then let's just briefly look at the carnal mind. The carnal mind is worldly Christians, if there is such a thing. God said in Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Romans 8, verse 7. Notice what God said here. God says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. See, a carnal mind leads to a worldly Christian. That's because Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is imitated against God. It is not subject to the law of God. But notice the last four words. Neither indeed can be. They may want to be. And they may try to be. And if one of your friends is a carnal church member, a carnal mind Christian, and they know that you love the Lord and you're a little more strict than they are, when that word comes out that they wish hadn't it came out, they say, oh, I'm so sorry that it slipped out. They're just doing what comes natural. It's going to come out because it hasn't been tamed. See, carnal means of the flesh. You understand what I'm saying? Carnal means of the flesh. The carnal mind is a saved person who lives for the flesh. And you think that person is going to be in the bride of Christ? The church of Corinth was full of carnal Christians. Paul called them babies. That's what Paul called them. You know, long as preacher, you can preach what you want to, as long as you don't get in that doctrine. I don't want no do's and don'ts. You just preach how great God is and that he came to save sinners like me. And that's why we have weak churches all over this country. I heard one person say here a few weeks ago, they sent me over to Walmart, and they said, I didn't think I'd ever say this, but, man, I miss your preaching. I said, I don't see any wheelchair, I don't see any crutches. Why aren't you back at Edmund Road? They said, well, my friends. Oh, okay. So your friends is more important to you than God. I understand. But when you grow spiritually, God will become first. Your friends second. Or you may find out they're really not your friend at all. I'm just saying. See, the Christian with a carnal mind is not satisfied in Christ alone. He went on to say, we have a lot of singing in our church now. We bring in groups to sing. I said, they like that, don't they? But do you know whether those people singing are saved? Now, I'll listen to them on a Saturday night. I'll listen to them as just entertainment, but am I going to bring them into the Lord's house? Not as long as I'm pastor. When I bring him into God's house, I'm saying it doesn't make any difference. And it does. See, there's difference between entertainment and spirituality. See, carnal just simply means flesh. And the Christian with the carnal mind is not satisfied in Christ alone. He chases after things, amusement, delight, rather than the things of God. He is quarrelsome, touchy, And often it's the source of church problems. He has a feeble digestion and cannot get his own food spiritually. See, when God saves you and you switch over to the worldly scene, you're a miserable person. You got to be. Because if you're saved, God has granted you repentance and faith, and you realize that this is for my spiritual life. But my body, you know, it's left up to me. But your body don't belong to you. This body doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. See, that is what's wrong with the school system now. The school system thinks the kids belong to them. You know what I'm talking, right? Deep scriptures do not interest them. I could take this little article that I got off Facebook to my brother, this pastor at the West End Baptist Church. You know, it's available online. You can get it. But everybody is excited about, I'll be back here in a minute. The details of the red heifer and their relation as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Example, the animal for the sacrifice must be a heifer, which is a young cow that has not become a calf. This is certainly answered in the virginity of Jesus Christ at the time of his crucifixion. It also speaks of the virgin birth Christ. The heifer is obvious female. And it goes on, and it tells of what is take place. And here a few months ago, I talked to some of you, and you said, well, I believe the Lord's coming. But I said, the third temple hasn't been built. The Lord ain't going to come until the third temple is built. Well, plans are being made right now for the third temple. Look up! Amen. You rent. Redemption draws nigh. I don't know when he's coming. The Son only knows one thing that he doesn't know. He doesn't know when he's coming. But he's sitting already. And when the Father says, go bring my children home, the lost see no difference and have no conviction run around a carnal-minded Christian. The carnal mind needs to get right with God, be serious, and fill himself with scriptures. See, notice with me in 1 Corinthians, God teaches us. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, God said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to hear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Romans 7, 14 and 15, James chapter 4, verse 4. I mean, it is plain to say they are saved. But come on, be honest with yourself. Be truthful to God. These people are not going to make up the bride of Christ. spiritual mind, next, as we take a last point. Spiritual mind is spiritual Christians. 1 Corinthians 2:15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. I can't judge you, but God will and can. This is the Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit and has a mind full of scriptures. He is mature. He is mature. He has understanding of spiritual things, has the ability to teach others Bible truth, and is fruitful. He has the mind of Christ. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians 2:5 says what? Well, Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was that mind? Not my will, Lord, but yours. Amen. Whatever you say, Lord, I'll do it. You write it down, I'll believe it. By the grace of God, I'll do it. If you think the thoughts Jesus did, you will live the way Jesus did. See, we do what we think about. To do that, we must think scriptures. We must meditate upon them. Because of that, our minds will be going forward, will not be in a neutral and will not have a chance to go backward or backslide. See, I can't help what comes in my mind, but I can help if I entertain it. So, a couple of scriptures and we'll let you go. The spiritual man or woman, needs to make sure he does not get satisfied. I go to church on Sunday morning. I think I'm doing pretty good. Really? Spiritual mind needs to make sure he does not get satisfied. Christians are satisfied with just what they know. And when you get into the deep scriptures and you cross-reference the Old Testament with the New Testament, they look like, what is he doing? The Old Testament is interpreted with the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 5. A few scriptures and then we'll let you go. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 says this. Verse 12. For when for the time ye are to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. I believe that we ought to preach doctrine every once in a while. And we, like most Baptists, say, oh, I believe all the doctrines. And they don't even know what the doctrines are. See, to be a Baptist, you believe certain things. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul says, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" That's a powerful scripture. "For ye are yet carnal," for how? Why? "For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" See, men strive among, "I'm going to do this. That was my job. You had no business doing that." We're a family. And last but not least, Galatians. God said, as we read this portion of Scripture that we find in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, God says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law." Isn't that wonderful? What's the worst thing that can happen to a Baptist church is to become satisfied. "I know all I need to know, go to heaven." But the difference between a lost person and a saved person is that a saved person has a desire to ever learn. Ever learn. That's why after preaching almost 55 years, when I go to a revival or preaching, I take my notebook. That brother's going to give me something, and I wouldn't be here. And it may be just a thought that I'll take and build upon it. You understand? If God has spoken, you come tell us. Song leader, pianist, drummer.